And I want you to just turn over. I'll just kind of introduce something here tonight and just be led by the Spirit of God. Let me just read Acts 13:2, because I want you young people to hear something tonight. My heart is to teach you and train you, not just the young people, but I want to talk specifically to the young people, and I'll tell you why in a minute, to move in the Holy Ghost. There is a generation now of people that have grown up in church. I'm talking about the ones in church that have never experienced a move of the Spirit like we just had. And what we just had was just a tip. But the majority of current modern day church folk has never experienced, nor do they know how, to move in the Holy Ghost. Now we are on the second generation of people that have grown up, had children, second generation, where the majority of them have never even attended church or attended any church faithfully or for a very length of time or any length of time. But I'm talking about coming back to a place where we never eliminate the Holy Spirit from our services. We are not a seeker, user-friendly church. We are a Holy Ghost church. We are a Spirit-filled church. And I wanted to go and look with you at some things as I was teaching on prayer, but as I prepared that, God began to remind me of some of these things that have been prophesied and even spoken. Now, you know, one of my spiritual fathers was Kenneth E. Hagin. Not Pastor Hagin, not the one you see on Sunday morning, but his dad. Now, he's going on to be with the Lord. But how many know if your spiritual father dies, he's still your spiritual father? Okay. And other men of God that have been taught and trained and grew up in that era where people were learning to move in the Holy Ghost. Because not all church services are equal, or not all church services are the same. It's when we try to can them or make them the same is when we begin to leave out the Holy Spirit. Now we have to learn how to move in the Holy Ghost. You have to be trained. You have to be taught. Here's another thing for you to consider. The average American today, from about, I don't know what the age span was, but say about 17 up, the average attention, the attention span of the average American is 15 minutes. And it's getting shorter. 20 years ago, it was 30 minutes because of TV, because most TV programs were 30 minutes. But now we got internet, we got computer, and you just keep bored. You just. So you know what? Churches have to go to props to keep people's attention. But when the Holy Spirit and the anointing is present, that draws attention. It causes you to pay attention. When the preacher is anointed, it tracks and it draws and it keeps your attention. Because we believe that the anointing does those two things. It breaks yokes, it destroys them, and it lifts burdens off of people's lives that otherwise would come and go in a church and never get free. It is the Holy Spirit's desire that you stay full of the Holy Spirit. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, your love level is full. Your faith level is full. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you have fullness of resistance against the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you got me? In Acts chapter 13, too, just look at it right quick. I won't have, and I'm, you know, I'm just going to kind of flow. Is that all right with you? Because learning to be led by the Spirit. I said there's different kind of church services. There's church services, and there's church services. There's evangelistic services. There's special services. There's Sunday morning services. There's believer services. And there's Holy Ghost services. You say they're all different? Sure, they're different. Most of you in here tonight are believers. So we could say this is a believer service. And a believer service is characterized by those that are hungry. By those who want more of God. By those who have not tried to gear God around their life, but their life is geared around God. We don't miss church just because something come up. Now, just listen to me out here. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, there's something here I want you to see. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, let me just stop there and tell you, what does it mean to minister to the Lord? See, that's what we were doing a while ago. We were just ministering to the Lord. We were just loving on Jesus. I was. I was trying to get most of you to do it. Just loving on Jesus, ministering to the Lord. They ministered and they fasted. Now, we know fasting does not move God. Fasting gets the flesh out of the way so we can be more honed in to the Spirit. Let me know, to be led by the Spirit, you got to be able to hear the Spirit. I want to speak just a second to the song people. You know, being led by the Spirit, are they still in here? You know, it's one thing to practice your songs and rehearse your songs, and then you got your list of songs. But to be led by the Spirit means that you may get into song number 3 or song number 4 and the Holy Ghost falls and you don't go to song number 5. Amen. Just like being led in preaching. I can have all of my outline, I can have everything that I've prepared for. But if I'm going to be led, and listen, let me qualify that. Now, if you're going to be led by, if a preacher is going to be led by the Spirit, he's still got to study, he's got to pray, he's got to get in the Word so he knows where to go as the Spirit leads him. Amen. You'd have to be a dummy not to ever put yourself into the Word and into prayer. And then expect to be led by God. Now, where are you going to go? You wouldn't even know there. You wouldn't even know it when you got there. Okay? But as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, remember we did the proclaimed fast. We fasted those 21 days in January. We fasted last year. How many know 2008 was a great year. But 2009 is going to be a greater year. Even in a time of recession, even in a time of downturn economy, because the Holy Spirit said, while the world is going down, take my people across and take them into their place of rich fulfillment. See, that goes cross-grain. That goes contrary to what the world does. But the Spirit of God always goes cross-grain to what the world is doing. That's why we have to learn and be trained to move by the Spirit of God. Well, I said all that because today I was reminded, and I'll just... There's a book, I don't hardly ever recommend them, but this book was printed in 1988 by Brother Hagin. It's called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. I don't know if any of you have ever read it, but I would encourage you, if you haven't, you know, to read it or to get it. It's a little old mini book. It doesn't take too long. But he got some revelation because he prayed all night. I think it was in 1987, he stayed up all night, maybe a couple nights praying because he was preparing for a seminar. And that's when the Lord began to speak to him about Holy Ghost services. To have Holy Ghost services, because most preachers and ministers and even the congregation, those that are hungry, those that have learned that, you know what, I'm going to follow God and I ain't letting any demon, devil, or no man or nothing take me out of my race. Now, how many know you got to get across that line? Because if there's anything that can take you down or take you out, the devil knows where he or she is or the button to push. But the Lord began to speak some things, and you can read a lot of those things in that book, but he was talking about the difference in the services. How that, you know, Sunday morning service is different. You gear it more of across the board type. There's got to be like on Easter service, you know, where you got people that come to church once a year. You got to shoot your best shot and try to win them to the Lord. There's times that we teach, like normally on Wednesday. Okay, and Sunday morning, we may not get into quite as depth, but you know, we still get in some pretty good things. Okay. But nevertheless, then there are special services where you might have, you know, a fivefold minister come in that specializes in a certain area of ministry, just like, you know, you go to a doctor, there's certain specialists, right? That are anointed in certain areas for certain types of ministry. And we need that balance in order to grow fully in the Lord. And then there was what he called the Holy Ghost service, so he could teach people how to move in the Holy Spirit. And a lot of ministries came out of those, out of that. You know, a lot of ministries. Today, I don't think there's not one state that you can't find a Rhema or Word of Faith type church in most cities and so on and so forth. Back when I got into it, there were none. There was some full gospel. There was some Pentecostal. There was a lot of hype. But there was no really word-orientated, word of faith type churches that practice and learn to move in the Holy Spirit. Back then, you had to go to like full gospel businessmen or somewhere to get in that atmosphere. And this is what I want you to see in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. In other words, there has to be an atmosphere produced so that the Holy Spirit will make His entrance and His appearance. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is in us, but you know what? You have to give the Holy Spirit permission to come into a church service. You have to give the Holy Spirit permission, even in your own life, to act and to manifest. Because you can, how many of you have ever heard of quenching the Spirit? Or grieving the Spirit? Well, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, he said something here, and I want to just kind of read it so you don't think I'm making this up, but it makes a lot of sense, okay? He had been up all night, and Jesus appeared to him. Now, he got a lot of flack when he would say something like, Jesus appeared. Well, people would say, well, no man see God. Well, no man has seen God, but there's been men see Jesus. Okay? And Jesus appeared to him and said, there's coming a new order of worship in the Holy Ghost churches. And he goes on, and you can read it. It's in chapter 4 of that book. He talks about clapping in a service. You know, y'all ever read that? Now, he says, whenever God is moving and people begin to clap in the service, that quenches or shuts down the move of the Spirit. Now, I didn't correct anybody a while ago because God was doing some things, you know, sometime in spite of us, just because, you know, He's sovereign and He wants us to learn some things. Now, He was not talking about clapping on upbeat songs. There's nothing wrong with clapping on upbeat songs. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So we're not talking about, or when you introduce somebody, oh, yeah, okay, you know. But what he was talking about is when the Spirit of God is moving like it was moving a while ago, and we get excited, and everybody's excited, and you know, oh, you know, and some people are getting touched, some people are receiving, some people are saying, what in the world is going on? But the point he was trying to make, what Jesus told him, is that when people begin to clap after the Spirit of God is moved, he said that shuts down the furtherance or the move forward of the Spirit for that time. Because clapping is not praise or worship of God. Okay? I just thought I'd throw that out there because we're talking about producing an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work. The church, the New Testament church, was a church that began by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament church began in the book of Acts by people being in unity, in one accord, and the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them. And we know, and we'll read this probably next week. I don't have time to read that to you right now, but you know, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, how many of you like having the Holy Spirit say something to us? How many of you like when the Holy Spirit shows up? Amen. Okay. If we want the Holy Spirit to show up, then we have to, first of all, create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. How do we create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit? What's an atmosphere? Well, atmosphere, just think about it, if there was no air in this room, you couldn't breathe. So if there's not an atmosphere created for the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit does not move. The Holy Spirit desires to move, but we have to learn to move in the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to move in the Holy Spirit by creating the atmosphere by which the Holy Spirit can move. Now, to the degree He moves is the degree of unity that we're in as a church. They were all there in one accord and prayed. Now, tell me how difficult it is to get all the church here at the same time and everybody praying at the same time. It's almost impossible. But the ones that are here, see, if we want the Holy Spirit to move, do you want the Holy Spirit to move? Then you're going to have to learn to move with the Holy Spirit. And we'll read this. We'll get into this because I, you know, now it's stirring in my spirit. And I can't let it go, okay? Because where we are right now, listen to me, is very minor compared to where God wants to take you and I. Listen, our best days are still ahead of us. Our best days are still in front of us. Jesus, the Lord Advocate General, the Lord of the church. You got to pardon me because I can't preach without lifting my voice. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That means His church is going to be a glorious church. And His church began with power. We have people say, well, I don't understand. I don't know why you do those tongue things. We had somebody come out Sunday, right, and said, he left another church because they spoke in tongues. I said, boy, you ain't going to enjoy this one either. I mean, you hate to lose people, but you're not going to, they don't get it. They don't get it. The way you stay full of the Holy Ghost is by speaking in tongues. Once you get it, you got to stay full. Stay full. You know why you got to stay full? Because you leak. Come on, you leak. You need one of those Depends. Because in the spirit, you know why you leak? Because you let the flesh rise up. Amen. You let people rub you the wrong way. Amen. You get yourself over into bitterness or unforgiveness. How many know that is quenching the Holy Ghost? You got to get to a place where you're so full of the Holy Ghost that your love level is so high that there is nothing that can offend you. Now, staying full of the Holy Ghost, because it's like a pipe. I remember, and even Brother Hagin makes a reference to a pipe, but I remember one time the pipe busted on my grandfather's well. It was like a 3/4 or some inch of galvanized pipe. And they had to cut that pipe and re-put. And that water, tasted pretty good. It was a deep artesian well. But when he cut that pipe, that 3/4 inch had restricted down to about 1/4 inch. It was full of green, slimy, white, all kind of this barely little peephole there for water to pass. Well, that's the way we are. The more we go through life, the more our pipe gets polluted. Amen. Green stuff starts growing. And slime. And all the contaminants, see, to, again, restrict. So, somebody said, did you hear about Pastor so-and-so? He ran off with the pianist. And he was spirit-filled. I said, he wouldn't when he ran off. I just hope it was a female. No. Are y'all here? I mean, I'm just trying to show you some things. And one of the prophecies, and we'll just have to shut it down because I'm gonna probably preach or teach you a little bit, but I'm also gonna give us time to move in the Holy Ghost. And if you here's some things that was brought back. The Bible says in Timothy that you're supposed to bring back the prophecies that have been ministered over you and to you. And one of those things, two or three of those things that I brought back to my remembrance is God has His eye on His churches that are doing things for Him. There's a great need for healing in the body of Christ today. Not just physical, but emotional. And the other thing was that all revival begins with prayer. It will cause the church to rise up above adversity. Now, I taught you for the last 2 or 3 weeks on prayer. And the last thing I said to you was you need to pray for your minister. Remember that?
Yes.
Hadn't been that long ago. And the reason we need to pray for the minister is quite obvious. The same reason we need to pray for the church. Because there is someone out there that is in direct opposition and does not want the church to progress forward. But we got his number.
Amen.
So, if you want the Holy Spirit to move, you're going to have to create the atmosphere.
Amen.
You create the atmosphere by learning to minister to the Lord. You can speak, young people, anytime you want in tongues if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll have to get in and share some teaching because if we're talking to a generation that has never learned or experienced a move of the Holy Spirit, it's not a normal move. It's supernatural. But then all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. They're all supernatural. The Holy Spirit is not natural. So we could just say it like this. We're going to have, on these Wednesday nights, we're going to have abnormal services. Abnormal. Not normal. Well, and the last thing is that heaven will hear and answer prayers from this place. And what got me stirred is when Jeremy began to give me that testimony about his little daughter. God will hear prayers from this place. I want you just to stand with me.